O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to The Kingdom is Yours by Aaron Keyes, Brittany Spencer, Micah Massey, and Terrell Wilson. The lyrics present a list similar to the Beatitudes with a contemporary perspective. Soulful solo vocal lines on the verses give way to a full choir, rejoicing with the words, "The kingdom is yours. Hope is in the Lord. Keep your eyes on him."
Blessed are the ones who do not bury all the broken pieces of their heart. Blessed are the tears of all the weary, pouring like a sky falling stars. Blessed are the wounded ones in morning, brave enough to show the Lord their scars. Blessed are the hurts that are not hidden, open to the healing touch of God. The kingdom is yours. The kingdom is yours. Hold on a little more. This is not the end. Hope is in the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him.
And blessed are the ones who walk in. Even in the face of great abuse, and blessed are the deeds that go unnoticed, serving with unguarded gratitude. And blessed are the ones who fight for justice, longing for the coming day. Soul that thirsts for righteousness, welcoming the last, the lost, the least.
The kingdom is yours.
The kingdom is yours. still have strength to love their enemies. Blessed is the faith of those who persevere, for though they fall, they'll never know defeat. The kingdom is yours.
Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants. Everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. Who does God care about? Does he withhold his love from certain types of people? Are there some folks out there who are just too far gone for him to use, too lost to be redeemed? Well, these verses begin to show us the incredible extent of God's love. In a world that is quick to divide over the smallest of differences, God demonstrates his desire to bring every type of person into relationship with him. God will not exile the foreigner. He will not cast out the eunuch. No, he will bring in and redeem any who call upon his name. Though specifically called out, the eunuch and the foreigner were outsiders in the midst of God's people. The eunuch in particular was forbidden from taking full part in the life of Israel. And who were eunuchs? These were men who, in most instances, were forcibly castrated so that they might fulfill various roles in government service in the ancient Near East and the countries that surrounded Israel. There was great demand for them, and this great demand may have been what led to young boys being included in the tribute paid to Persia so that they could be castrated and trained for government service. What made them so valuable? Well, they had no families to distract them from their service. They could be entrusted with the care and supervision of the royal harem, since they posed no threat to the women of the harem and could not have children by the harem women who might be mistaken for royal heirs. They would be less likely to become involved in conspiracies because they would have no heirs to put on the throne. This was a cruel practice. And one Old Testament scholar posits that the biblical law keeping them from full inclusion in Israel was not so much a law against them, but was instead given in love to make this cruel mutilation abhorrent in Israel, if nowhere else. but to demonstrate God's care for all people, including them. He specifically calls them out in this prophetic word. He promises them something better than sons and daughters, which would not have been available to them. He says that he will give them an everlasting name. Our God is the one who gathers outcasts, who gives them everything they need, who is able to take our mourning and pain and turn them into dancing. Nothing and no one are beyond God's ability to redeem. And we see this word come to fruition in Jesus, the one who continually went out to outcasts and gave them a name and a place. Are there people in your life who seem beyond hope? Do you sometimes doubt whether our God is really willing to save you? Well, then pray to the God of outcasts and allow his love to fill and transform you. Let's close now with this old Anglican prayer. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For the sake of your Son, our Savior. Amen.